Peace be to you. Into the problem of evil. Let us begin with a question.
Kia ora, and now my haramai to another episode of Curiously Catholic, the Evangelion podcast. We are on episode 40. That's right, we have 40 podcast episodes, which we have done over the past 4 years, because we started this ministry in 2020, because I'm insane. Also, God calls us, and then he qualifies us. We don't get to choose these things. Anyway, we decided to start Evangelion in 2020, and the ministry of Evangelion is evangelism, going out into the world and making disciples of all nations. Seems like a bad idea, seeing as though we had a global pandemic and the complete lockdown of most countries in the world, especially when what we're trying to do is bring speakers from overseas to New Zealand. But we did it anyway, and 4 years later, we have 40 episodes, and in this episode, we're going to be talking to none other than Shana Lorando. You may know her as Valer. She's an artist, she is a friend, and she is a sort of a family member. We've known each other for a while. I'm really excited to get stuck into the interview with her. We're going to talk about being an artist. We're going to be talking about some of her music and her journey. But before we get into that, I just want to get you excited about what we're doing here. I converted to Catholicism when I was 22. I can't remember what year that was. It was a while ago. I'm 35. You can do the maths. And when I converted, I just got really excited. I found the source of life. I found the truth and the way to live. And I just wanted everyone to know about it. And it didn't seem like everyone was as excited as me. Fast forward a few years, I'm now in New Zealand. And I found this amazing country and I found these fantastic people. And I don't see why we can't make the whole of New Zealand Catholic. So join the mission and get involved. See how you can be part of this mission by clicking on the link below and going out for a coffee with me. You give me your details, I'll give you a phone call, and we'll have a chat. So get involved and pray for me. Pray for me that I'm doing the right thing, and see how you can be part of this massive journey. But without further ado, I'm going to crack on, and if we have no more technical failures, I'm going to invite Shana. Hey, kia ora.
Hi, Dom. Hey, I'm Shana Graham now.
Oh,
did you know that?
Yeah, that just shows how long I've known you. I was going to introduce you as Shana Llorando.
Llorando. Hey, man, look, it's cool. It's still on my passport, so.
Oh, don't
see,
go traveling.
If the government doesn't know, then it's okay that you don't know. You know what I mean?
I do know. I was there when it happened.
You were there.
I've met your children.
Yeah. Can you explain to the audience how we're sort of family members? That made me laugh so hard.
Is it the nose?
I thought it was because I'm your daughter's godmom.
Well,
but also it's because of the nose thing.
So just for you guys to know, I was a chaplain at the Catholic chaplain at the University of Auckland for 7 years, and during that time, Shana was doing a degree there. She did marketing, music, what else?
Something. A commerce and music.
She spent a whole bunch of money, and now she has a piece of paper saying that she did spend that money. Anyway, whilst we were there, we became friends, and we realized that we were pretty good mates. And then eventually, Shana started working at the chaplaincy with me. Mm-hmm. I don't know at what point we became hashtag ride or die. But we were out shopping for your sister for her birthday one time, and we went into this bougie kind of
Aesop. It was Aesop in Auckland.
Call it what you want. and we were kind of running with this whole we're brother and sister thing, and we said to the lady, "Can you tell we're related?" And she's like, "Yeah, it's the nose." And just gonna, for those of you watching this, you'll notice that the video is way better than it was yesterday or the last episode. But also, you'll see in my nose. Shana, can we get a close up of your nose? I mean, oh, beautiful. Not up, you know, it's just...
Look, I don't have a nose. I'm Filipino. You know what I'm saying? Like, I have one of the flattest noses. Like, I'm Lilo and Stitch level flat nose. You know what I mean?
You know.
And I don't think Dom is Lilo and Stitch nose. I don't know what this sister's talking about.
But yeah, so that's what she said. She said it was the nose, and me and Shana have been brother and sister since. But yes, also, later after that, long after that, I had a baby. And I asked Shana to be the godparent to that baby.
I'm a very proud godmother.
That's how we're related spiritually, I guess.
Yes.
So that's how me and Shana became
god co-parents.
I feel like people are not going to care about this at all.
No, they will. Okay. I will make them. Okay. They will. Just kidding.
So that's enough about me and you. We've known each other for years and years, and the whole time I've known you, you've been a musician of sorts.
Yes.
We got you to play at masses, you've been releasing albums. Blue is your EP, is that right? And actually, if you are a regular listener of the podcast, we have a segment called The Catholic Life, and that's with Shana Song. But yeah, so that's one of Shana's songs. Look her up. Seriously, I've listened to that EP since she released it. Maria, that's another good one you did.
Yes.
Yeah, she's on Spotify under Valere, V-A-L-E-R-E. And you've been doing music for a long time. You started on the ukulele and you...
Yep.
I don't know what this was because this was before I knew you, but I remember seeing like a video or some images of you being like a massive concert and you were playing the ukulele.
That was a past life. I mean, I entered a lot of competitions when I was younger, and that was like a cool thing. It must have been a video. I was trying to get a scholarship, so I put a video together of all the things that. Anyway, it's a thing, but you know.
No, yeah, and I guess being Filipino. You are a musician. That seems to be a stereotype. If you're not doing karaoke, you're some kind of singer or musician. Is that true, or am I picking at a very small thing there?
I don't know. I don't know.
Moving to New Zealand, I was introduced to a lot of different nationalities, and the one thing that I've been told by other people that aren't Filipino is that all Filipinos sing. I don't know. I'll put my foot in it there. But anyway, I'd like, because like, obviously, have you been Catholic your whole life, or was there a conversion moment, or is it a bit of both?
I think I was definitely like raised Catholic, but I had a reversion as well. I think we were kind of more culturally Catholic than, and it was around maybe when I was like 14 or something like that, that I had a reversion. I've had a kind of multiple reversions in some ways. Yeah, so like, yeah, I'm not very consistent, you know what I mean?
I mean, just read the Bible. The people of God are never consistent.
That's true.
So, is there one particular reversion that seems to be fundamental for you, or that seems to be kind of, you know, the main... thing that was like, right now I'm going to be Catholic, and then from there it was just a series of deepenings of your faith?
I think actually relates to music as well. I went to a Life Teen camp in 2015. So I had already had my reversion, like the first one, when I was a teenager. I was serving at youth camps, and then I went to uni, and I just kind of like, I mean, chaplaincy really helped, like in terms of just being there and like talking to people of the same faith. Yeah, sure. Thank you. That's why I work there. But I think it was around that time, like maybe my second year, that I was just like, what the heck is this actually? Like, and then I ended up going to the Philippines and then coming back and then serving at a youth camp. And then I was just like, why am I even here? Like, I don't even think I believe this thing anymore. And it wasn't until, like, I was serving at the worship band, and I had like an experience where during I think one of the nights, like the worship nights, I was only meant to play guitar. I wasn't meant to lead worship at all. I hadn't led worship in ages. And then I remember it was when they processed in the Blessed Sacrament. We all knelt down. And I started singing. And like it was like Set Afire by United Pursuit. And honestly, like it felt like God just kind of, felt like I was a glove and God was just like, whoosh, like, you know, and my hands were up. I started singing, like, it honestly hasn't happened since. And I just probably sang the best / the most I ever had. Like the song is really short, or like it's a very repetitive song. I remember seeing the friend of mine, like kind of recording, or I think he was recording it or something. Or seeing the time, it was like that song we sung as a congregation for like 30 minutes, and I was just leading it. I was leading, and it just was crazy. So I was like, "Oh, dang, okay, so this is real." Like, oh, I can't argue with this anymore. Yeah, and nothing like that has ever happened since. It's just been like really like little like morsels, but It was crazy that God used music to get me back.
Yeah. So what would you say your relationship to music is? I mean, it's something that I've always kind of struggled with, and we've debated a lot. What makes you a creative? You know, everyone's a creative and all that. And we won't get into it because it's boring. Anyway. Yeah. What is your relationship to music? How has music affected your life? At what point were you like, this is going to be my thing?
That's a good question. I don't know. Like it's always a surprising thing to me because I grew up like singing and I loved it, you know, and like I always wanted to be like a singer when I was a kid. I don't, you know, and like started writing songs and everything like that, and I didn't really think about what my relationship to music was, like, really. It just was, like, this thing that I thought I was really good at, and so I'm going to do it, and I had this ambition to do it. And then it wasn't really until, like, that experience, I think, where it was just like, oh, wow, like, maybe not that experience, but beforehand when I was serving at youth camps and stuff, I definitely had a time in my life where I felt like God was using my music to reach people. And like whenever I would perform, I was probably around like year 10, year 11 or something. I don't know. When I would perform, I'd feel his presence. It felt like I was just this connected kind of thing. Like he was just there. I was like this conduit and it was just like flowing out. And then I kind of lost it a little bit. Like, so I find myself like, happening upon that like thing, because I'm always warring with it because of my desire to like my previous desire to kind of just use it as my career or whatever, and then it not really working out that way and you know like in on paper, and then I'm like, oh, I'll just give it up, you know. And then honest to God, like some random person would just message me, be like, hey, I just letting you know, I've just been listening to, like, it's literally just like a handful of songs, and they're songs about God that I've written, and they've just chucked it in, like, the EP or whatever, and they'd be like, oh, I've just been listening to the song, and it's just really helped me, so I just wanted to say. Every time I'm like, oh, I'm done with this, someone just comes up and just messages me, and I told God, I was like, I'm not gonna do this if it's not helping anybody. So he just, it just feels like he's saying, well, okay, we'll just keep going then. Because I'm just going to tell someone to let you know that it's still helping that one person. So I don't know currently, like I'm at the moment always surrendering it to the Lord because I'm like, I'm done with this. Like, Like, I'm done with, like, thinking about it. Like, I don't want to complicate it anymore. I'm always afraid of pursuing it. But so far, doors are opening. So I'm just going to keep walking through. Yeah. If he wants to use it, sure. If not, yeah. Like, so I don't know. It's a complicated relationship. I don't know why I said that in a British accent, but
related. I'm British.
Because it's the nose.
Nobody knows what it is. Well, yeah, because, I mean, I've been wanting to have this interview with you for a long time because you're like, you know, you're my sister. And you, but you're also like, I guess, my closest friend that's also a musician. I have other friends that are musicians, but, you know, obviously we work together and we're related, so it makes things a bit. We've always had deep conversations, and yeah. So, because like music's such an interesting thing. Like, recently, I've just discovered a band called the Hillbilly Thomists, and I don't know what it is about it, but that music, it just resonates right here. Just and the lyrics are amazing. I mean, they're literally a bunch of Dominican friars, so they're theologically sound, I would like to think. I mean, I'm no theologian. Yeah, when I listen to that music, in fact, there's this one particular song called Hard Times, and I've been at work, and one of my friends had just had a really rubbish time, and I sent her that song. I said,
cool.
When I said to her, it's like, when my heart aches, this is like a balm to my soul. And it's just a song. It's just, and like so many times, just random songs. It's not always Christian songs. It's like, it's just like, it's like secular songs, and they can pierce through, like, even the words they're saying, and how this, it's like, it just articulates something deep inside. So like, music really is a gift. And like, Chris West talks about this all the time. Like, he uses music, pop songs from his day, and he like interprets other songs and talks about them, like secular artists as like the twisted mystics. They can get to that essence of reality through music, and I don't know if you can you relate to anything I'm saying. I mean,
yeah, totally. Like, I think there was a time even where I wasn't listening to worship music for a while, and I think I was actually working at the chaplaincy at the time. I was just like, oh nah, like, you know. And then for some reason it was like one day where I just like, oh, let's just put, you know, a song on, just like brought me to tears. Like, it's just, yeah, like, I think, yeah, it definitely has a way of just disarming you, because you can kind of, you can put up armor with your thoughts, I think. You can, you can, like, logically rationalize things, and then that sometimes can harden you up, like, music is so, and in some cases it can be so pure that it, like you said, it pierces through, like it doesn't, it kind of wafts over the armor that you build, and it's just like, yeah. So I mean, it in good and in bad ways. That's why it's so, like, I also find myself, if I'm listening to music that isn't good, like, not like good as in like subjective good, but like actually, like, you know, like quite crude or whatever, it affects me. Like, it does affect me. And so it's the same with, like, yeah. And it's because people put their, like, heart and soul into that. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, and I think, yeah, you know, this brings me on to, like, your latest song release. It's, my wife's been listening to it a lot, so it's been playing around the house. And then I've been listening to it a lot recently. And the music video that comes along with it as well. And, like, that's, I think that's really, it's what's really cool about it is it's obviously an understanding of life that you've come to, a deeper appreciation of the reality that you're living, which is now, you are a daughter, and you've been a daughter your whole life, but now you're a mother with a daughter, and you've come to realize something deeper, and you've written something that I feel I was saying to you earlier, it's like I can't really connect to. When I was listening to my wife listening to it, I was like, I need to talk to Shana about this because this is really profound. So can you tell me a bit about Lily's March, it's called, right?
Yep. Yeah.
I named it incorrectly in my last episode, so I put the link to the YouTube video, so go back to the last episode, episode 39, and the link's in the description.
It's all good, man. People get my name wrong all the time. Yeah. And it's just my life.
Lorando's Way. I called it Lily's Way, but it's Lily's March. And it's beautiful because your little Lily Philly has the cutest little run, and it's in the video. And just the joy that's on that little human's face is just...
Bruh. Oh, she's like 100% joy. 100% sanguine, like just pure joy that will light up the melancholic hearts of her parents. She's a gift. Like, we need her in this family.
Beautiful. So, tell me a bit more about that song. What were you thinking when you wrote it? And, like, how has there been any impacts that from others or to yourself after the release?
I wrote the song while I was trying to put Lily to sleep, actually. Like, it was, I think she must have been 3 months old, straight up. And I don't know if it was in this house or if it was, like, in, because we were living with Hayden's mum at the time, like, when Lily was born, probably around her house. But I remember being like, oh, okay, cool, well, look, I'm awake. And, like, maybe I should try to write a song or whatever, you know. So I had been, like, recording little, like, snippets of, you know, like, just voice memos. And because it was either that or I was singing Silent Night for some reason. It was some Christmas songs, like how I was swaying. But anyway, so I was swaying and it was like kind of like a march. And then I started singing the melody. And I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. So I recorded it and I think I might have sung over it the words to the chorus already. And I was like, what is this about? Because usually when I write, or most, like, I don't set out to do it, but, like, more often than not, I write the melody and then I try to wrap the words around. And so I don't actually know what the song is about until, like, close to the end. I'm trying to piece it myself. So it's probably me externally processing, because that's also how I find out how I feel when I talk it through to someone. And I'm like, oh my gosh, true. Anyway, so when I wrote that chorus, I was like, what is this song about? And that sort of formed into, like, wow, this is how I feel about being Lily's mum. And how, I was grappling with, like, whoa, I am a daughter, and I'm imagining, or just, like, reflecting on how my mum raised me, and then now I'm raising a daughter who I see myself in, and I'm freaking out. I'm freaking out, man, because I'm like, damn, I don't know how to do this. And my mom was the man, like, or the woman. And I'm like, I'd have no clue what to do. But this little girl is, like, relying on me. How am I? Like, I felt like such a child. And I am a child. But, like, and so I was reflecting on what gifts my mom gave me as, you know, like, she gave me a lot of courage, or, like, just this kind of, yeah, she legitimately is, like, the person I go to whenever I'm, like, scared. I'm like, hey, she's always so encouraging. She's like, nah, you can do it. You can do it, man. Like, and she's always, like, a problem solver, that kind of thing. I'm not like that at all. I'm very, like, scared all the time. But I feel like what I can give Lily is warmth and love and affection. I feel like I just want her to feel like, I want her to know that her mom loves her as she is. And so that's what I just wanted to say in the song. I was like, look, I'm not like my mom, who encourages me, you know, like, and I'm gonna try to, but I think what I can give you is, like, no matter what happens to you, you're gonna be loved no matter what. That was the song. And it's been really awesome actually putting it out, because I was a little bit scared to put it out, because I think, like, before writing the song, I had, I was pregnant with Lily, right, and I was kind of scared, like, oh my gosh, like, what is music going to look like for me as a mom? Like, I don't see a lot of women out there, like, doing music as moms, or, like, pregnant or whatever. So I had actually, like, posted up on this, like, women's page, New Zealand music, like, women's page, being like, hey, anyone out there, moms? I just want to know. And all these people, like, commented, like, no one had, like, I had never seen them before, and they just were like, yeah, I am, and we had really awesome chats, and that got me started into, like, looking into, like, mother artists and that kind of stuff. And but I had been reading few things of, like, oh yeah, like, I don't really want to be just, like, pegged as a mom, like, that's not my shtick or whatever, like, that kind of thing. And I just want to be, you know, known as this artist. And I was grappling with that too, because I'm like, well, if I put this song out, they're just gonna know me as, oh, that mom. But then I realized, like, yeah, well, because I am. Like, that's my main thing. Like, I shouldn't be ashamed of that. Like, that's my life. Like, and I actually don't like that term. I'm not just a mom. I'm like, girl, being a mom's, like, the greatest thing you could be. Like, if you can, like, I mean, obviously, if, anyway, it, like, I mean that in, like, just, I don't know how to explain it, but, like, I could rant about that all day. I don't even want to go in there. But that's why I was sort of scared, was because I'm like, if I put this out, what are people going to think of me? Mm. And, like,
people would actually see you if you
put... Oh, yeah, it's probably, like, like, one of the most, like, vulnerable songs I'd written.
Oh, yeah. Because
it's literally, you know?
That's what really came across, like, because with Jess listening to it, it's like, I could tell that she was getting a lot out of it. Now, my wife, she's a brick wall when it comes to what's going on inside. And so if she comments on anything, it means it had an effect.
Wow.
On her, you know? And so she was like, she was praise listening God. To it regularly. And then she was like, oh, this is Shana's song, which means I'm having a profound experience because she told me.
Yeah.
She just, like, she's, wow. Everything happens here. And she doesn't realize that it doesn't come out on her face. but yeah, I think, it was obvious that this song was very profound, not only for you, but that you are articulating something that is profound in other mums. And
yeah.
I wanted to talk to you a bit about the video, because you had, obviously, my wife and kids and a whole bunch of others. And yeah, like, as much as you're able, who was involved? What were their experiences with the whole story?
It was really special. I think, so I talked to, so Hayden, my husband, he was the one who filmed it. And the part of the idea of, like, these kind of family portraits was because, like, Hayden is really awesome at, like, filming, and his kind of sensibility is quite photographic. He can do photography and film. So when he actually films things, they look like moving photos. So I was like, oh, that'd be a really cool idea. Like, because it's kind of like a family thing, and I had this idea of just mums and daughters kind of posing, but they're, like, moving into the poses. So, and so I thought, and I knew so many people around me who had daughters, like, who were my age, like your wife and people in where I live, you know. So, yeah, I just, it was quite an organic, like, experience. I just had the idea of having, like, fabric behind us and all that. So, like, but, like, it was really dictated by, like, when were we going to meet these people? How are the kids going to be? The kids, like, directed it all. I wasn't even there when we filmed Jess. Mm. Because I don't know where I was, but it was just Hayden.
Sleeping well or something.
Oh, yeah, something like, probably. But, you know, so I was just, it was a lot of just, like, trust in the process, I think. And even, like, with our shots with Lily, we were wanting, like, these moody shots. But there was nothing moody about that. Like, she was just running around. She had, like, 4 cookies because we had to, like, you know, we were playing ABBA. She was running. Like, that, yeah, that's joy and cookies. That's sugar and joy.
Seriously.
In that video.
Watch the video and you just, it's beyond words.
There's actually a behind the scenes video. Like, Emmeline, who is my best friend, she did my makeup. She's videoing. We were trying to get this, like, real moody shot. I was sitting on this, like, box. Hayden is, like, filming me, like, straight on or whatever. I don't even know if that shot got in there, but I'm trying to sing my best. Lily's below, like, pulling my leg, throwing the biggest tantrum in the whole entire world, and I'm trying to sing this song. And Emlyn just, like, videoing the whole thing. So, and we, but it was actually, it's crazy, Dom, like, when we were filming that part of the video, that was the first time I sung that song to Lily.
She didn't
like, with
it.
Her being, a, yeah, she was like, what is this? But, like, her awake, like, obviously it was kind of singing it to her and putting her to sleep, but she had never heard it, and I was getting choked up, like, because it felt like I was, like, telling her what I was, you know, it was the first time I was telling her this thing. She probably doesn't understand, but, like, I was like, whoa. She's very cute because she knows it's Lily's March. She knows it's, like, you know, I don't know if she knows it's a song about her, but whenever it's pink, she's like, oh, it's my March. It's my March.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know what? Yeah, it is your March, Lily. It is. Yeah, so that's, I don't know, is anything that I guess I could
say
about the
video. No, I think
it's
really beautiful. Like, yeah, it's a really organic thing. And has anybody gotten to, back, anyone who listened to it, gotten back to you? Have you got any good responses from it?
Yeah. I've been really, like, I don't know if surprised is, like, a word for it, but I've just been really moved by what people have said to me about it. Mm. Random people. And people that I haven't talked to in ages have, like, just messaged me saying, hey, like, this has been really, like, moving. And it's actually prompted conversation with their mums and daughters. You know what I mean? Like, I think there was someone who messaged me the other day, like, on Instagram, and, hey, I just, you know, I actually started talking to my mum about, like, what a mother's love looks like, that kind of thing. And I was like, man, like, I think that was also the idea of, like, we're putting up posters in Auckland and Christchurch. I got some funding for the song, which is awesome. That's another thing too. Every time I'm like, I'm giving this up, God's like, here's some funding. Okay, God, thanks, Lord. Like, with the song, like, I've been applying for funding for ages, and I'm like, this is the one, this is the hit. Never gets the funding, but when it's about something that's really vulnerable or about him, it's like, here you go.
Yeah.
Anyway. So we end up putting posters up and around. And for me, it was just kind of like, man, I don't know if I've seen any mums, like, on a poster driving down the street. Like, I wonder if that'll actually provoke some conversation about, like, whoa, what is motherhood? Like, what does that look like? You know, like,
yeah.
What is the value of, you know, parenthood?
I think that's actually, like, cause obviously, Evangelion's mission is evangelization. And I think when you think of evangelization, I remember I was talking to a friend and she's Catholic, but like on one of those on the peripheries, maybe more cultural Catholic, turned up to all the events though. And I mentioned evangelism and she was like, oh no, we can't do that. That's horrible when people do that. And she's thinking of, like, you know, people that attack you in the streets with a Bible. And, like, you know,
yeah.
I'm sure that produces some fruit. There's some amazing conversion stories through that and stuff. But, like, in this journey of starting this apostolate and trying to evangelize, I've realized that evangelism is, it's broad, you know, as deep as the ocean, you know? We and like I think coming back to like talking to people about true things and talking about how we were saying earlier, music can cut through to bash through people's barriers, because if you have an awesome tune that someone can like, oh man, that's really good, and then they listen to the lyrics, then it affects them on a deeper level. You know, and what Chris West is talking about, the Twisted Mystics, it's like he's saying that they're seeking the best song, and if you're seeking the best anything, you're seeking the truest, the most good, the most beautiful. And you're transcendentals and you're finding God, and that's what they're accidentally doing, without realizing it. I suppose your music is an evangelism. And then we get into the, you know, discussion around Christian music, and people have opinions about that. But like, what? Yeah. So like, obviously, I'm now saying that you're an evangelist through this song. How do you feel about that? And like, what do you think about using music as an evangelistic tool?
You were actually the one who told me that, like. This was at Chaplaincy. I wasn't working there yet, but I remember being like, I was a real crap Catholic or something. I don't know. I was talking to you. I remember it was in the chapel, and you were like, Shauna, when you get to heaven, God's not going to be like, were you Catholic? Like, God's going to look at you and, like, how you, like, you. Like, I'm not saying we shouldn't be Catholic or whatever, like, Catholicism isn't valuable, but you were saying, I think you must have mentioned, and I could be wrong, which means you were wrong. But like, it was like, maybe Mother Teresa had said, like, if you're a Muslim, be the best Muslim you can be, or like that thing you were saying about, like, seek the truest thing, seek the best thing, and you'll probably get to the place, you'll probably get to the truth, you know, like, and I don't know why I like brought that up, but I think. I was going to say, like, I don't really care about what other people think about Christian music or whatever. If they have opinions, I don't care. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, if all that matters is that, like, I'm just being a witness. That's all.
Well, like, I suppose it's like.
Were you wrong? Was I wrong?
No, I definitely did say that. The point I was driving at is if you're, it's like that kind of thing. It's like there's no salvation outside of the church, which begs the question: what's the church?
Yeah,
and the church is the way, the truth, and the life.
Yeah,
and so if you're seeking truth, if you're a Muslim and you seek truth, your Islam, in your Buddhism. And once you've sought truth, you'll find truth. And like, say you're in an environment where there's no such thing as Christianity. An interesting experience I had whilst I was at university, I met somebody that doesn't really know anything about Christianity. They've never heard the Our Father before. And like, coming from England, which is a Christian nation, and we're in New Zealand, which it definitely used to be a Christian nation, it's like, what? You don't even know the Our Father. What's going on? Because like when I was at primary school, it's something that was kind of taught in primary school, and so even if you were a Muslim, you'd know it.
Yeah.
And so like, if you're in that situation where you've never had any experience of the Gospels, what's important is that you seek what is true.
Truth, yeah.
Goodness, beauty. You seek those things, and then you'll find God. And like, I think. I mean, this might get a bit of pushback, but like, if you can't put God into a Catholic box, and like, if you go into the Catholic box, you'll definitely find God, because Jesus set up the Catholic Church, but God is so much more than that as well.
And, yeah.
You know, I think it's St. Damien of Molokai. I remember hearing a quote, and it was, he was asked, like, well, what about Buddhists? Do they go to heaven? And he said, I don't know if Buddhists will go to heaven, but I know that Christians can go to heaven because that's the way they're set forward. So, like, Buddhists might get in from it, you know.
Yeah.
Christianity definitely can get in.
Yeah.
Within reason, obviously. There's that whole line. I've met really nice atheists and really horrible Christians. It's like, yeah, welcome to humanity.
Yeah. I'm trying to form what I want to say about this, but like, I think when people talk about this stuff, I think they're asking the wrong question. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm trying to say. Is that like, that's why I'm like, I don't really care what you think about it. I don't really care what your opinion is. Mm. It's like, I don't know what God sees. Mm-hmm. Like, God could be saving somebody through this thing that's not Christian. Mm. Like, he did for me. Mm. You know, like, obviously it's not like the end, but like, just because you chuck a Christian label on it doesn't mean it's effective.
And I think you get like that label of Christian music and you think of really cheesy praise and worship songs. I remember when I just converted to Catholicism, there was this Protestant fellow I was pretty good mates with, and there was this song. I was learning some praise and worship songs, and I just got really bored with them because it's a four-chord progression over and over again. It's just really kind of simple, and I guess it's because of the congregational singing or something. It's like, this song's rubbish. And he's like, well, you're going to be singing it in heaven. I was like, I don't think so.
That's funny.
Like you're going to be singing like the sentiment of it in heaven, but maybe not this. I hope not.
Well, and saying that, though, like, someone could think of that song being like, this is amazing. This is actually getting me to the Lord, you know. Like, oh, man. Ask me a question because I feel like I could go like anywhere with this. So I need to be like reined in. So give me something.
Rein you in as you're going along.
No, because I feel like I might be. Yeah, I feel like I might be uncharitable or something. I don't know. I'm like not sure where I'm gonna go.
Well, what I'm like your song Lily's March.
Yeah.
That's a Christian song, without being Christian music.
Sure.
You know, and so. Yeah. But we only realized that in this conversation because we were talking about how it's related to people, the truth of motherhood. And that's that's not a Christian concept, motherhood, but like the way that you've talked about motherhood has caused people to go deeper into truth and maybe their faith. It's caused them to seek God in a truthful way, in a good way, in a beautiful way. And therefore, it is a Christian song. But like, it wouldn't necessarily fit the category of Christian music in the sense that you wouldn't necessarily play it at a praise and worship night. And I feel like Christian music gets categorized into praise and worship music, which is a very specific kind of thing. And like, obviously, I mean, from my perspective, obviously you're not going to listen to that all the time.
Mm.
I have quite an eclectic music taste because I feel like every song has its place. Screamo music or opera or praise and worship or
Lily. Or the happy birthday song, you know?
Yeah, I guess it has its place.
One and birthdays. Place.
I could talk about the happy birthday song. I'm not going to. I was about to. I had to hold my stuff then. I have opinions.
Really?
Next episode is my opinion.
Just hot takes. Yeah.
Actually, that's what I should use Instagram stories for. Just my.
Yeah, hot take. It's great.
This is my hot take of the day. The happy birthday song is crap and it shouldn't be. Unless it's the Stevie Wonder one.
I was going to say, unless it's the Stevie Wonder. Yep. This that's so good.
So, I mean, do you have like an opinion on Christian music that you could share? When we're talking about Christian music, we're specifically talking about praise and worship.
Okay. You're not talking about, say, like Christian hip hop or something like that. Christian, you know, because there's when I say Christian music, I'm thinking just songs that are.
If you put on Life FM,
Yeah, well, that Christian hip hop is there.
Those songs, because like, having said that, I've recently found some really good stuff.
Yeah,
Christian artists on YouTube, but like, it seems to me that, you know, there's this quote from Martin Luther that's, a Christian shoemaker doesn't make shoes with crosses on it; he makes really good shoes. And I feel like often, whenever a Christian does something, be it a movie or a song or a story or whatever, it's like, let's just put a cross on it, you know?
Yeah.
Because way back when, I wrote a bunch of songs. I made my own little EP. I never released it or anything. I think I've lost it now. It's gone forever.
Oh, no.
It was on a laptop that died.
Sitting, waiting, wishing.
Yeah.
Is that? Yeah. See, I remember, brother.
You like,
I remember.
Interviews music artists. Brings up things they did in the past. Anyway. You've embarrassed me now. Anyway. And there was this guy that was trying to start up a Catholic radio station in London, and he said, the songs you're singing, we could change that word to Jesus, and it would be a Christian song. And I was like, yeah, I mean, you could ruin the song if you wanted to. And that's not what I was singing about.
Yeah.
And yeah, so that's kind of what I'm talking about. I'm talking about shoes with crosses on rather than really good shoes.
Are you asking me if, like, one is better or one is, like... I'll tell you what I think.
Let's just tell me what you think, and we'll work out what I mean.
Okay. Yeah. We're externally processing all at once, all together. So, let me tell you, just from my experience, so I was part of a Catholic record label, Enemy Love Records, which you should check out. Mm. Everyone on there. Emma and David are incredible. They're like, I call them my mom and dad. I'm just going to say it. We're all family out here. It's my brother, my mom and dad. So I was, yeah.
what are their noses look like?
They're not like mine. So it was around that time I was feeling really crap about like I've been writing this EP for ages, and I was like, I'm not doing this anymore. And then Emma reached out to me and she said, hey, just letting you know, I've been listening to this one song. That's awesome. And that made me go, oh man, okay, Lord, what's going on? Fast forward, we've been like chatting, and she said, hey, I'm actually, like, my husband and I are wanting to put out albums at the end of the year. Would you be keen to open for us in Brisbane? And then I was like, okay. And then it's like, actually, my main thing is that we're starting a Catholic record label. We would like to sign you. And I was like, oh, okay. But I had already spoken to her, like, in the beginning. I was like, hey, so is this going to be, like, a record label where they're going to be Catholic musicians on it, but it's just a record label, so it's just like whatever music, or is it going to be like marketed as this is Catholic music? And they were going towards this like Catholic music thing, and I was like, okay. Like, in all honesty, like throughout my sort of music career, that was never my thing. And I'm not saying that like it's not a thing, that like it shouldn't be a thing, but it was just not my walk, because I would find myself in situations where I was like, I found fruit when I was around people that weren't Catholic who listened to the music that I was making, just honest music. It wasn't like trying to, you know, like, it was just like you said, just speaking truth and living my faith out. Like, I wasn't hiding the fact that I wasn't Catholic or whatever. And I have had situations where I've said no to collaborations because it disagreed with my faith, but I've had really awesome conversations with people who aren't Catholic, who have just maybe started thinking about it or whatever, like faith, God, whatever that is, spirituality, or, you know, and that was always my heart. And so I grappled with it a little bit, and I've had like really frank conversations with Emma and David about it. And I've realized that, like, that's why I don't really have an opinion in a way that's like, this is a good thing, this is a bad thing. I realized that both of us, like, were doing God's work, but in different ways. they had, their heart was in really like putting out great Catholic music. Because at the moment, there's not really like when you think of praise and worship, we've got like, you know, our like Protestant brothers and sisters who are doing a really awesome job at doing that. But I don't really know, like Catholic names aren't really out there as much. And they have a really specific heart. So I'm not on the label anymore, although we are still like, we still, I'm still really close to them, and I want to keep them as like mentors and stuff like that. Because I know like if I'm going to be in those spaces, I can't do this by myself. I need to have community around me. My heart specifically is like, it's the same way that I think about motherhood. Like, I'm a mom, so whatever I do is going to be through a mom lens. Music, so I'm gonna write about being a mom because that's my life. Like, or the way that I see society, I'm gonna be seeing it as like, oh my gosh, they should have this because this would be really helpful for parents, you know, like that's my reality. And I feel like as I'm a Catholic, and that's how I'm gonna live my life, and I'm just gonna live my life genuinely and truthfully, and, you know, like strive to be the best Catholic I can be. And yeah, I mean, I've written songs about God. But I've also written songs that are not about God. But I believe that, like, I'm just gonna leave it up to the Lord to use whatever He needs to reach whoever He needs to reach. And so I just wanna keep it simple for me.
Yeah, I think when I was asking you a question, in my head it was way more simpler. But it's like, I remember you telling me when you first started dating Hayden, you started a conversation and you asked him, what's his favourite colour? And you thought you were going to get a colour. But you got
I didn't.
Explanation into what colour is as a concept.
Oh no, I got a colour combination. He just said, I just like contrast. I was like, what the heck does that mean? That's what you get when you date a freaking artist.
There you go. Well, and it's similar. When you ask a musician, what do you think about a particular type of music? You're like, well, you don't understand that there is what music is. You don't know what you just said. It's like, I actually had a really cool, I should do the podcast about this as well. I had a really cool experience. A friend of mine who's a Buddhist asked me, what is the mass? And it took about 15 minutes for me to gather. It's like, you do want me to answer this question, right? Because I'm going to talk about the mass.
Yeah.
I'm going to go on for a while, just so you know. And she was like, got to the point where she's like, did I ask the right question? No. You asked the right question. I just want you to know who you asked. You know?
Yeah.
And it was a beautiful thing. And maybe cool. I'll tell you guys about it more later. Yeah, I think what we touched on there was like what music is, and like I said, there's a type of music for everything, and there's certain music will touch people in certain ways. And what actually, you know, and it's something I want to get onto in a moment, you've touched on it so many times, is I read this letter to artists from St. John Paul the Great. Second John Paul, that is great, and also saying
the second great.
No, just kidding. Anyway, moving on. I get confused because he has a few titles. Anyway,
yeah.
And he talks about the relationship between God and humanity as creator and craftsman.
Yeah.
And how they seem the same thing because craftsmen create things, but craftsmen create things with created things. And so God has created everything, and He's put us into the world to craft what He has created. It's just a beautiful relationship, and I'll get into it in a bit. But to finish off the point we were talking about, I liked how you were talking about, like, the way that you approach music is you're just going to do your thing in your way, which is exactly what God is calling us to do in all of our lives, whether you're an accountant, whether you're a painting artist, a musician, you know, nurse, fireman, you name it. We're called to be a craftsman in that area and to be the person we've been created to be. And for some people, that's cheesy praise and worship music, but it's crafting that. For some people, it's opera. For some people, you're just looking at that. And I think that's how we're going to evangelize. That's how we're going to witness. We're going to be the person that we are, because God has created us, and they're therefore going to see us in what we produce. And what we produce is just going out every day. Like when that guy was like saying, if we could change your song and just put Jesus here and there, it would be a Christian song. It's like, yeah, but then it would no longer reflect the person that wrote it.
Yeah. It's crazy to think. Ugh, I have so many thoughts about that. I'm going to try and say them all. Not at once, but anyway. So I remember, like, look, it's so crazy to me just to think that God could just do everything. But he asked us to participate in saving the world. He could say all the stuff more perfect, you know, but now he's just wanting to use us and our brokenness to be able to reach other people. It's like, I remember going to like Festival One and listening to this guy, Strawn. Yeah. He was talking about this whole kind of creativity thing. I was like on that buzz. And something that he said was like, artists back in the day, they were literally like, their task was to represent what was real in a way that it just kind of added their flavor to it or whatever, but that's what an artist's kind of role was, is to whatever was already exists is representing it to people so that they can see it in a new way. And I don't believe, like, you know, people being like, oh, this is really new and exciting. It's like, it's actually not. Like, it's actually not. I view my role as an artist to represent what is already real in a way that I can process, but also maybe help other people to process too. That's just, you know, just to express what's happening. Motherhood is not a very, like, a unique experience in, you know, the world, but it's a unique experience to me because I'm going through it, and so I'm singing about it in a way that I can. So that's like one thought. And the other thought is like, probably the reason why I say like I don't care about your opinion is because a lot of the opinions are talking about the hierarchy of music. Is chant better? Is this better? Is this better? Hey, if we're asking the question, sure. Like, it's, but I feel like that's the wrong question.
Yeah.
Like for example, like, sure, this is deemed a hot take, but it shouldn't be a hot take. Like, yeah, of course, religious life is, you know, like, in the hierarchy of things, religious life is up here and parent, like, you know, marriage is down here. Because, like, they're already living heaven. Mm-hmm. Duh. Like, but am I called to that? Like, just because it's the best, does that mean that I'm called to it? No, the best thing that I can do right now is the thing that I'm called to, which is parenthood. And I'm not going to be useful up here if I'm living this thing. You got to be humble about that. Like, and so it really irks me when people are like, I'm just going to say this because it's, there are people who will badmouth praise and worship or, like, not participate in it or make people feel like they can't participate in it because, especially in our Catholic circle for some reason, I know that a lot of Protestants are, you know, like, that's how they worship the Lord. And so for some reason, it doesn't, like, correlate with Catholicism. Like, we shouldn't do that because it's Protestant. But I'm like, girl, have you read the Bible? They read the Bible really well, let me tell you. But anyway, I'm just getting really annoyed. But it's like you're asking the wrong question, my friend. We all know that angel singing is like the highest form of music. But can you just be humble? You're a measly human. And these people out here are being the best that they can be, and they're listening to. They're communicating with the Lord right now through praise and worship. I can't peg the guy. I can't peg where the Holy Spirit's gonna go. Mm-hmm. If he's gonna use a hip hop song to reach somebody, so be it.
Yeah.
I don't know if I made it any sense.
Well, yeah, and I think, well, I mean, you hit on a few, like, you hit on a lot of things, but like that last point, like, I think, you know, there is a time and place for everything. For chant, you know, and liturgical music, that's a thing in itself, you know. It's, and I'm not gonna,
like, I'm not gonna, like, I, just a point there, like, I'm not saying that we should play praise and worship at Mass or whatever. Like, definitely, there's a time and place. There is appropriate music in appropriate places and times. But if you're going, if the question, if people are always talking about, like, what's better, it's like,
well, one of my recent, more recent gripes that I've come up into whilst trying to do the Lord's work is, whenever you form a group, you start hanging out, everything's good, and everyone, then all of a sudden it's like, oh, why don't we try and, you know, we're Catholics, and put some sacraments in there. It's like, great idea, let's do that. It's like, well, you know, really, we should, the best thing we can be doing is going to Mass. It's like, yeah, but what happens at the end of Mass? Go. Leave. Mass is over. Get out of here. It's like, yeah, well, if we're not meeting at Mass, are we really Catholic? It's like, yes, we're Catholic in a cafe. We're cafe Catholics and we're Mass Catholics, and we're meeting in this place because we're bringing Catholicism here. You know, we can meet up in a different context. And then start get debating theology and philosophy, and it's like, you're making good points, and they're all correct, and you're missing what I'm talking about. Let's reduce everything. The only thing, and then, like, and I think this is the biggest problem with evangelism in Catholicism, is people only want to go to Mass, and like, they've got a really good reason for that. The problem is, no one knows what Mass is. The Protestants don't realize it's all scriptural. The atheists or agnostics just think it's weird. You know, they think it's too religious and not enough spiritual. And they're like, so, like, why don't we meet them where they're at and bring them to a place where then they can say, let's not hang out in the cafe, let's go to Mass. You know? But, like, yeah, so, and yeah, it's the same with music of, like, you can't, yeah. There is a point where you can't criticize any type of music genrally. I mean, obviously, if something is objectively awful.
Sure.
You know, and like, again, then you wouldn't put reggae in a Mass, you wouldn't put screamo in a Mass. But you might, and I was told this by a friend of mine who's quite into screamo music. Apparently, a lot of it, the lyrics are quite Christian. But yeah, I think what we can get into, because I feel like, you know, we've touched on parenthood, we've touched on music and stuff, and like, I think I'd like to get more into this, like, kind of creator craftsman thing, because maybe more people can relate to that. And one thing that kind of occurred to me whilst I was reflecting on all this, I was actually listening to this clip from Lila Rose. Can't remember what she said, but what made me think of it was, it's like that eternal perspective, and how, like, I feel like there's lots of these, in being a Christian and a Catholic, there's lots of these fundamental elements that, like, if you do these 10 things, you're going to be set. And one of them is having a perspective of heaven. That's where we're meant to be. That's where we're going. How do I live my life? I live my life in a way that will get me to heaven. And you can go into the details by looking at the church. But bring it back to this craftsman creator relationship, it reminded me of St. Thomas Aquinas, that story where he wrote the Summa Theologiae, put it in the altar, and then realized it's all dust, is the quote. And like, so what I thought of here, I'll just read what I wrote so I don't get it wrong. I've probably. The grammar's probably awful, though. Anyway, so we need to have an eternal perspective in our whole lives. We are craftsmen. We can be the world's greatest craftsmen, and we should be, but all the while remain fully aware that we are crafting things that have been created for us. I believe this eternal perspective will also add to the quality of our work, because our purpose behind the work has a correct orientation. God wants to work with us. He wants to see what we produce and bless our plans and elevate them. That means we've got to start crafting, which is to say, we must start truly living. God created us and desires us to be like Him, Christian, Christ-like. Part of participating in this relationship is setting to the work in front of us, making things good, making good things. The risk is that we get distracted by what we made and not why we made it, and that can shift our eyes from heaven to earth. There's nothing necessarily wrong with earthly success, only when it is for the sake of success itself and not for the success of God's sake. Ooh, tongue twister at the end there. But like, I was thinking about this specifically when you were talking about how you get to a point where you're like, oh, I'm going to throw the towel in, or I think, mm-hmm. This song's going to be the hit because I've hit all the points that they said I should. But it's then when it's that moment that bursts into your life, a God moment, if you will, that everything starts to rise. So mm-hmm. Any comments, any thoughts?
Yeah, everything that you said, like, I think humility is a really, like, probably the, that's the prayer I always pray before I get on the stage, or like, because I need it. I actually have, like, on my wall right now, something that I wrote down. It's like whenever I spin out about music, because I always will. I think I'm always going to. But to ground me, and like, it's like put things in priority. Like, mm-hmm. It's just like, whenever this happens, these are the things, like the reason why you're doing it or whatever. And it's like just prioritizing God first, you know, like, and to realize that what you do is a gift. It's not something to, like, so you should give it. It's a gift that you shouldn't keep, but to give. And it's, but anyway, like, to get to your point, like, again, this was you. You told me this too at Chaplaincy, that there's only two things that you need to think about. It's the eternal perspective and the present. Because, like, you're, because, yeah, that you're kind of like walking these two, you're balancing this thing where you're like, yep, I know I'm not meant to be here. And so I need to put my perspective eternally. But how I do that, how I, you know, like, how I follow God's commandments is by following God's commandments today. it doesn't, and I have definitely, in my journey of like music, it's like, that's definitely been a distraction for me of like, okay, well, I'm gonna plan my future. I'm gonna do this and this, and it's gonna, like, you know, this is going to be my career, blah, 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 blah. Like, my journey in music has been so different to what I thought it would be. Like, I thought I had to lay it down when I became a mom. But for some reason, God keeps opening doors, more so now that I've got a family. And I keep asking Him, how the heck is it going to work? Mm. But, like, I'm hoping I tie this in. I can't, like, I'm just trying to follow this thought, but like, if I know I'm doing what I'm called to well, then I shouldn't worry about what happens to my music. It's when I worry about what will happen to it, whether it'll give me success or not, that I get distracted. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not leaning onto God's providence. I'm not trusting. And so it's like, as I always ask Him, it's always like an all or nothing thing. Like, oh, do you want me to do this or not? It's like, God's like saying, yeah, I want you to do it. Like, I gave you the gift, but you're wanting like fruit right now. You're wanting to see things right now. I didn't ask you to do that. I just asked you to make stuff. I just asked you to do what you need to do right now. I just asked you to write the song.
The question you've got to ask yourself is, do you want your fruit now or do you want your fruit in heaven? Because that's what God says to us in the scriptures. It's like these people that you see succeeding, they have their fill. But you will have your fill in heaven, but you won't experience what they're experiencing now.
I think maybe it's more like not even thinking about the fruit. But I think because it reminds me of like Mother Teresa, for example, right? Like she went through this kind of dark night of the soul, and she was even like, I don't even know if there is a heaven. But I'm just going to keep doing this because I love you. And so that's what I'm trying to strive for, I guess, is that like it's a gift that he's given me, and that maybe it's just the way that we communicate that's the gift in itself. And so like I'm just keeping on doing it because it seems like he just wants me to keep doing it. And that's what's simple about it. You know what I mean? Like I don't right now, I might care tomorrow, but it'll be, you know, but like I shouldn't care whether or not I get fruit from it in heaven or not, or even here. So it's just, I think it's more like,
I think something that occurred to me while you're talking is like, it's kind of like trying to be cool. If you're trying to be cool, you'll never be cool.
But straight up.
The way that you're cool is that if you focus on, you know, the example that comes to mind, and you might appreciate this, is I heard in an interview with Steph Curry, he was playing against Kobe. Do you know the interview I'm talking about?
No.
Okay. So Kobe was coming at him.
Yeah.
They call him the Black Mamba or something?
Yes.
Anyway. He's like, he was doing his Kobe thing, and Steph Curry was like, oh no.
Yeah.
And like he was like on him, like going hard, and like,
yeah,
like trying to get her out of it, drilling. Yeah. He got to the point where he was absolutely out of steam, and he just threw like a three-pointer and sunk it, and he was like, that was the coolest thing in the world. But he was, at the time,
he was not feeling cool.
No, he was feeling cool, but he was like, don't let him know. Don't let him out. Oh, the locker room after, he's like, I'm gonna need that tape, you know. He's like, he scored one on Kobe.
Yeah.
And but like, again, that cool moment would never have happened if he wasn't dedicated to his craft.
Yeah.
And so,
oh, I gotcha.
And so we need to be dedicated to our craft.
Yes.
You know, one thing, you know, at work, when I moved to the emergency department, I was like, I was the IV resource nurse in my ward, but we never had IV lines. So I was a big fish in a puddle. You know? And then I was like, I came to AD and I was like, I need to find all this equipment. We have these trolleys. And I was like, oh, what do I do? How do I do this? And I thought to myself, I was like, in a few weeks, this isn't going to be a problem. But right now, I just have to take 5 minutes to make sure I've got all the equipment. And then it was like a couple of weeks ago, I was going to do an IV line. And I just opened all the drawers and pulled out the things without even thinking about it. I was like, I've done it.
That's so funny. And
what we need to do, bringing it back to what we were talking about, it's like getting into a flow state with where God has put us in life. You know?
Yeah.
He's created as, you know, parents. He's created as a musician or healthcare worker or accountant or whatever. And, you know, he's also asked us to make disciples of all nations. Like, in my life, that looks like doing Evangelion.
Yeah. You know,
in your life, it's about writing songs that have a deep truth.
Yeah.
A truth that comes from you, that was given to you by God, and you're the craftsman of that truth. And so I think, you know, that's, and the last episode was like, and how do we be holy? And I guess that's it, you know, just, we've got to get into that flow state. And you know, when the idea of a flow state is, when you're in it, time stops, You don't know, you know, you don't even realize you're doing the things you need to do, but you're nailing it every time. You're hitting every note. You're on the beat. Everything's just going, and you don't realize you nailed it until like 20 minutes later, because at the in the time, it doesn't matter. You're doing the thing that you need to do. And that's with us in life. You know, we have the things we need to do. You know, I talked about it, like, a healthy life is eat well, sleep well, and exercise. A healthy faith life is, you know, prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. You know, we get into that flow state where, and those things, we don't need the rules. We don't need to be told that Sunday is a holy day of obligation. We don't need to be told to do our morning prayers and stuff. We just, the day's finished, and you don't know if you've prayed, because you have, because it's been part of your life. And then, like you say, the fruit in heaven doesn't matter. The fruit on earth doesn't matter, because you've just been doing the thing.
I think it's more like, thought just kind of like gone. But yeah, I get what you mean. I think it's a struggle. So I'm a big lover of Saint Jose Maria, and he always talks about, like, sainthood is a struggle, like, because we're on earth, right? And so, like, to get to that flow state, like, there are going to be days where you're on, there are going to be days when you're not, and I think that's the whole thing about being present and just doing the best you can with what you've got. And so you might get into the flow state.
Yeah.
Like, the more you do it, you know? I think what that makes me think of is that, I guess, the idea of being a craftsman. Like, if you're consistently doing the best you can and practicing, you know, et cetera, et cetera, like, you're going to be making good things. You're honoring the gift that you've been given. Mm-hmm. And I feel like now more than ever, it's really important to do that. And I think just in terms of, like, creativity and, like, like the arts, let's say, it's just really hard at the moment, because especially when you become a parent or whatever, like, that stuff, like, and I've fallen privy to it, like, that stuff kind of goes to the other side, because you're like, no, we need to, you know, like, it's not a responsible thing anymore, like, or I don't know, maybe it's just my view at the moment, but it just feels like the arts aren't being valued because they're not productive. Right? And like a way, you know, but, and this is why, like, this is why I spin out with music, because I'm like, what am I doing this for, etc., you know? But then I write something like Lily's March and I put it out. I don't expect anything to come out of it, but then people start to, like, say, hey, like, this is this thing, like, I'm moved by this. And with the rise of, like, AI and, like, just how the world is right now, I'm sensing, like, man, like, we need people who are craftsmen. We need people who are doing the best they can and making good things, because I think that's going to actually more than ever pierce through and get people thinking about the Lord again. Because, like, it's a big topic at the moment, a big, you know, like, I'm, anyway, like, with AI and stuff, but just in terms of, like, the creative arts and stuff, like, just how...
I don't know how to deal with the AI.
Look, like, as if we're talking about, like, how you're saying God is creator and we are craftsmen, God created reality. And so, as a craftsman, my medium is reality. That's how I see it. And so, like that's my paints, that's my, you know, whatever. And I think AI destroys that because it's not real. Like, Or, and it takes away the dignity of the craftsman actually making this. Like, there's something happens when a person takes reality and creates with it. There's a dignity in that. So if you take out the person and the creation, it's not, I don't know, that's just my take. That's my hot take.
Where are you coming with that? And like, two things come to mind. One thing, a guy called Jonathan Pageot, I was listening to a talk he gave on like art, and he's a iconographer and various other things to do with that. And he was talking about how the modern conception of art is a painting. You know, when you think of art, you think of paintings. That's what art is, or sculptures. But art is not the product, it's the process. And yep. So, because what it used to be was someone would be able to, you know, make the art of making a spoon, he gives the example of. And what we would call now an artisan spoon was just a spoon, because there was no mass production of spoons and knives and forks. And so if you need a spoon, you needed to go to the spoon guy who can make really good spoons. And the making of the spoon was a process where you carved it out of a tree, you know, or like, you know, you made a spoon. And then they would add their flair onto it, and they would put designs onto it. And then the art of making a spoon, it's like, you may look at the spoons, that's very plain, but that's the most perfect spoon. And then there's he gives the example of, I think Donald Trump wrote a book, The Art of the Deal. And so again, it's not about the deal, but it's about the process of getting a deal. It's the art of, like, you know, with nursing, it's a scientific endeavor, but there is an art to nursing. There is a way of doing it that is superior to other ways of doing it that can only be expressed by the person doing it. And it's not something you can really teach. It's something you have to discover and craft and hone. But so that's the one thing I was thinking about. And like, again, just a short one with AI, what the one thing that I've heard that people keep bringing up is like, AI is not a replacement for humans, it's a tool. And so, whereas you can be like, write me a love poem because I want to send something to my wife. It'll write you a love poem. It's like, yeah, now take that love poem and make it for your wife. You know, it's like, that's the inspiration. That's the starting blocks. It's giving you a template. It's giving you an idea. And then you make it your own. And that's what makes it art. I mean, when it comes to the images that are coming out, and apparently there's some really high quality stuff, I can barely make this microphone work. I'm not going to go start working. Maybe if I had AI, the microphone would work. I don't know. But like, so I'm not going to start getting into AI, but again, thinking about bringing those two ideas together, art is a craft. When you're doing a painting, it's not about, is the painting correct?
Yeah.
It's about the painting itself. There is one painting, and we do prints of the painting, and it gives you, it's like taking a photograph, it's fine, it's its own thing, but mass-produced spoons. We've ruined spoons. Because now everyone has a spoon. Maybe it's got some design on it. Maybe they've got a black spoon or a gold spoon, you know. But they're mass-produced, and now we don't know what spoon, the art of what a good spoon is. We just know what spoons are. They're just tools that we use. And AI can produce, mass-produce art. Art that looks nice that you can put on your wall, but it's not art. We've lost what a spoon was.
Yeah.
And therefore, you know, again, just look at the architecture of the world, you know. Glass buildings and prefab office blocks.
I was going to say, like, just because artificial has art in it doesn't mean it's art. I'm Shane. Just because it's got the word in it doesn't mean it's, like, it fits in there. Like, I make electronic music, sure. People are gonna be like, oh, you're just, you know, you're bagging on AI, but you make electronic music. Like, well, yeah, but I'm actually doing something. Like, it takes me time. And
I mean, it's not even the time or the equipment used, it's the person that does it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And if you take that away, like, for a robot to do, it's not, like, Hayden is, I think he's right, but he's just always buzzed out at the fact that, like, Lily is just, like, scribbling, and he's just like, this is the most incredible thing in the world. But he was just saying, like, man, any kid scribble is going to be way better than whatever AI can make, because it's been made by a person. Like,
yeah. And this is one of the things that's really hard to articulate about the arts. It's yeah. something that everyone knows if they stop and think about it for a while. But I guess we're, I don't want to sound one of those doom and gloom guys, but we like the society promotes, we've moved into like a scientific kind of culture where it's, you know, we don't want beauty. We want something that works, and it has to be just pure logically, and it has to be cold, it has to be unfeeling, it has to be a thing that just happens. Like, the spoons is a great example, you know, like cutlery. We've, like, we've got two sets of cutlery. We must have 1,000 knives and forks in our drawer, and we don't know who made them, because no one made them. You know, and the same with bed sheets, the same with, even now with houses, they can 3D print houses now. And so it's like, where's the, you know, it's a different kind of art. It's a digital art, but like, it's, and like, I mean, I can go on forever about the houses in New Zealand. It's like, that's a nice yeah. house. Oh, that's three houses.
Yeah, man.
And like,
oh, that's eight houses on one lot. Dang.
Yeah. yeah.
Yep.
There was one house there. Yep. Now there's 25.
Yes.
But like, and you know, the beauty is the beauty, the goodness and the truth, the essence of what it is, the humanity is kind of being taken out of things that we need that should also be beautiful. But the need is outdoing the greater need, which is the need for beauty, goodness and truth.
I think as you're talking, like, I was thinking about this actually at the doctor's, because follow me, but like, it's going to be a thing, but I was just looking at, like, they were promoting these doctors or whatever. And they're like, you know, I'm this doctor and I do this thing. It's not particularly like a Catholic thing, I'd say, or promoting pole dancing or whatever, like that kind of thing at the doctor's. And I'm like, okay, look, just a normal doctor. But anyway, it was just like, I thought, wow, like, just because you have a degree that backs you, or like you're like a doctor or like a scientist, or like scientists say, or a researcher, or whatever, then people automatically think, okay, this is a place I can trust. And I think that's, like, to be honest, like, just our society at the moment is, like, I think skeptical. I think maybe it's a need of truth. It's seeking truth and trying to find solid ground, because maybe things aren't solid right now or whatever. Like, this is just a thought that I've had. Like, and that's why I think beauty is really important, because, like, this is when people start to, like, separate things again. Where, like, we were talking about this, say, like, even when we were in, like, the chaplaincy and stuff, people were debating about transcendentals, like, oh, is beauty a thing, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, it's because you don't understand beauty, my friend. Like, like, when people start to separate stuff like that, you don't get the full picture. You know what I mean? And this might not relate, but it also made me think of, like, a friend of mine. She had a group of Christians together, and they had written like really awesome kind of just thought provoking articles. And she was saying, like, you know, with Protestants, how you are saved by, like, if you make an ascent of being like, okay, Jesus, you are my Lord and Savior. You know, like this intellectual assent. And then she's like, well, what about my intellectually disabled brother? How is he going to get saved? If he can't actually intellectually assent to that. Like, I think people, when people separate stuff, like, if it's all logic, if it's all thought, if it's all this, what about those people who maybe don't have the capacity to do that? And that's what the beauty of our faith is. Like, I talked to my friend about this, and she's like, well, the Mass is so bodily. Like it's not a problem to us. Like, I have a friend whose sister's altar serve, and they're participating in the Mass. Like, anyway, all I'm saying is that, like, when people, it just feels like people are shutting God out.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I think, man, you're hitting on so many things there, but, like, what we need to bring back to the world, and I think this is talked about a lot, but I don't think there is a obvious way forward with it, but we need to reintegrate beauty into the world. I heard that there was a state in America that made a new law that you have, if you're making a new building, it has to meet certain building regulations, which are, it has to be good looking, you know, it has to be beautiful. And, you know, I've heard people talk before about architecture is, if you walk into a beautiful building, it raises you up to be someone's, like, I need to be someone worthy of being in this place. And so yeah. You've got all these, you know, council estates, which are objectively awful looking. And, you know, you hear of the activities that go on those estates. And yeah, they match up perfectly. And I think, you know, coming back to that eternal perspective of, like, we need to pray that the people in making decisions have something coming close to that. And then, like, through our craft, be it in your case music, you have an opportunity to punch through with beauty. Like, Bishop Barron is a big advocate of beauty, and it's because it's the one thing that's, like, undeniable.
Mm-hmm.
Something is genuinely beautiful, and you give someone that something that's beautiful. Like my friend, he had a tough day, and I said, all right, here's a song.
Yeah.
You know, there's lots of things that I wanted to say. You know, I wanted to take away her pain. I wanted to say the thing that would make her feel better, that would validate what she feels. But I was like, you know what? This song
says it all.
It's not even the words to say it. It's the harmonies, it's the
true,
all the music that comes together, and it just resonates right here, and it heals something that's split open. And I guess we should kind of bring this to an end, because we're getting to an hour and 40. And I've got to get to bed.
How long are these podcasts actually meant to be?
Well, they've been 20 minutes up until now, so...
I told you, this is going to be a good one.
Yeah, but yeah, so we are craftsmen, and we need to turn to our creator and look at the beauty look at the creation that he's put before us. And then we need to go into that with the heart of God, with that eternal perspective, and bring about in those places these transcendentals, which, again, I don't want to get too caught up in the concept of them, but more get caught up in the love of God, which will then ultimately be these things, because these are deep truths. Like, when I'm at work, my main objective is to make as many people laugh as possible, make them smile.
Cool.
Because we're in an objectively horrible place, and they're objectively not feeling the best.
Dude, hospitals, let me tell you,
they're not
pretty. Is like... Like, I mean, I feel they're like the purest places. Like, you can just feel life and death, like, happening. And whoever, like, I can't, like, I have just this thing with hospitals, man. It's crazy. Yeah, so you're freaking doing an awesome job, dude.
Like, I mean, and like, so for the people listening that aren't musicians, that aren't artists, or that think that maybe they are, but the leap is too far, it's like, you have already been given the tools that you need to do the thing that God's asking you to do. You're being asked to craft what is in front of you and make it either good, beautiful, and true, or one of those three things. Another one that I relate a lot more with is the transcendental of oneness. You know, God is one, three people in one, and therefore he's in everything, and everything is part of him in a sense. Don't want to get too pantheistic and possibly say something heretical, but there is an element of oneness, and there's something that I discovered whilst I was at the chaplaincy. Searching for God in all moments. And I think, you know, as we step out into the world, let's just have that thought of like, okay, what am I a craftsman of? The one thing we definitely all have is time. People always comment to me, is like, you know, I'm a husband, a father, a nurse, doing Evangelion. I've started like trying to do woodwork, and like, how do you have time for it? And it's amazing that if you put down your phone right in front of me, demanding my time, are three little cretins, and they're the most adorable things in the world, and they want my time. And so I don't need to question it. And then when they're asleep, put down your phone. I've got time to work on myself, I've got time to work on my ministry, I've got time to work on my things, and then when I'm at work, you know. Arnold Schwarzenegger talks about, you know, there's 24 hours in a day, you spend 8 hours at work, 6 hours sleeping, everything else defines who you are, and like, that's true. Even a twisted mystic. He might not be the most Christian, I don't know much about his faith.
It's fair. Speaking of time, and speaking of the little critters. My little critter is crying. So I might have to go. So.
Okay. Well, we'll call it. I think we've brought it to a good place. And is there anything you want to get people to check out if they listen to this podcast and they've never heard of Shana Graham or Valair for that matter?
Just have a listen. If you like it, let me know. Follow me on Instagram, Valair Music, and send me a message. I'm going to put out an EP soon. That's all I want to say.
Yeah, I did want to talk to you about it because I love that song, but that's maybe for another time. In fact, I'm just going to leave it. You guys listen to it. Check her out on Spotify. Check her out on Instagram. Become friends with Shana. Help us to promote beauty. We've got something very beautiful here, something that touches the heart of women everywhere. If you're a woman, listen to it. If you're a man, give it a go.
Send it to your mum.
Send it to your mum. Oh, yeah, that would be perfect. Yeah, if you're a bloke, send it to your mum, your sister, you know.
Yeah.
Spread this message, because, again, as much as we are supporting an artist here, what we're actually doing is we're helping people go deeper in their relationships. All faith is, all evangelism is promoting a relationship, promoting a relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you want to get involved with what we're doing here at Evangelion, check us out at evangelion.co.nz. And we are looking for financial partners at the moment, so if you've got a bit of spare cash, chuck it our way, go on the support us tab.
Give us all your money.
That's right, Shana, she's still here. give us all your money. We're looking for donors, monthly donors, so that we can be craftsmen of the world in front of us and bring truth, goodness, and beauty to all those people that have not yet experienced it. How sad is that? You could change someone's life today by starting donating to us so that we can change the world. Also, click on that link below, give me your details, and let's go out for a coffee and see how you can help me to help you to help Jesus make this a reality. I've been Dominic Malgeri. This lady here, where she?
Shana Graham. Graham.
Check her out, Valair Music on Instagram. God bless.
Peace be to you. Into the problem of evil. Let us begin with